Would you take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 6, please? Matthew chapter 6, this will be our text today. And if you have not been with us, we are in a series of messages entitled Consider Him. And we are considering the life of the Lord Jesus, the character of the Lord Jesus, attributes of the Lord Jesus. He is the focus as we consider Him. In Matthew chapter 6, what we find contextually is it's part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching many different principles and truths, but He's giving the conduct that He would have for us to live in our Christian life and several other things as well. But He taught that the motivation for why we do or the way that we live really is should come from a heart that is godly in character. Godly character at the heart. And there's a Bible preacher named Warren Wiersbe. Maybe you've heard of him. But he noted that the Sermon on the Mount deals with the conduct that grows out of character. Character always comes before conduct because what we are determines what we do. And in this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord taught on some Christian behavior, sometimes called kingdom behavior, and again, several things. But through this sermon, one of the things that the Lord was addressing practically was the Lord was correcting false notions that some people had, namely the Sadducees and Pharisees. There were many who believed that wealth and material possessions were a sure sign of God's favor in your life. And men everywhere would spend great amounts of time focusing in on the material possessions while forgetting what true riches are, eternal riches. And Jesus' teachings caused people to lift their eyes from the temporal plane that they're living on, to look over the horizon at the eternal kingdom of God. And that is something that as God's people, we need to be reminded of often. Because it is, if we are not careful, we can become so consumed ourselves with what we see in tangible form that we neglect to look on the eternal. And we don't live so often with eternity in view. It's easy to worry about temporal things. And many get so caught up in worrying over the temporal things, about having enough for the future here on earth, but fail in their mind, in their spirit, to think about the eternal and our future in heaven, where our real citizenship is. And so we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6 because from this passage, we learn some things about a kingdom-minded Christian or a Christian who lives with eternity in view. And as we consider the Lord Jesus, what we're going to look at is we're going to consider His provision for us. And you'll see as we walk through this. Matthew chapter 6, I want you to start with me in verse 19. Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. From this passage, we learn some things about living with eternity in view or being a kingdom-minded Christian. And as we consider these truths this morning, my prayer is that we would remember that through focusing on the kingdom of God rather than the temporary world, that we would understand that we actually have no reason to worry about the cares of this life because our Heavenly Father provides. Being a kingdom-minded Christian allows us to live with the peace and the joy that God intends for His people. Peace and joy that the world is actually looking for. And what we're going to do over the next two Sundays is break this passage down into two sections, all right? Today, we're going to consider it from the perspective of Christ's provision for us. And then next week, Lord willing, we're going to consider it from the perspective of living with an eternal viewpoint rather than an earthly or temporal one, because we can trust in Christ's provision for us. That enables us to live with eternity in view. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we've prayed this already, but I do pray that you would fill with your Spirit. Lord, give liberty to teach and preach your word. And Lord, help us to respond in a way that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 6, if we were to go back just a little bit, we would find maybe one of the best known passages of Scripture found in this chapter. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 9, Jesus says, after this manner therefore pray ye. So what we find here is the model prayer. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. It's a model. The Lord was teaching His disciples how to pray. So He says, when you pray, pray like this. And here are the elements. And He says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In this model prayer, it goes on to say other things, but there are these words that are included in here where Jesus says, teaching His disciples how to pray, pray to the Father that the Lord would provide for you today. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a simple line, but it holds so much meaning here. And the context, again, is Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. In so doing, He also wanted to remind them, and He reminds us in the same way, that God is the provider of everything that we need. From our basic daily necessities to our deepest spiritual needs, it is God who is the one who is the provider. And He's faithful to provide. He never fails. This is something we need to remember. We get caught up in the daily living. We get caught up in the daily life and even in so much worry about tomorrow, what's going to happen or where is it going to go? And our mind is not on the fact that God is the one who is our provider. So today, as we consider or continue in our series here, considering Him, we're going to reflect on how the Scripture declares God's faithfulness in providing for us. And it's not something that we should take for granted, but it's something we often do. Whether He is providing physically, emotionally, or spiritually, we can be sure that God sees what the need is, God is at work even when we don't realize it. And the key to living in this truth is trust in His provision and trust in His care, trust in His goodness. As the song, the lady's just saying, you are only good. God is only good all the time, and He's always good. And it's trusting in His goodness and contentment with what He has provided, knowing that His provision is enough, is really the key to living in this truth. We're going to consider three things this morning: that He knows our need before we ask. Secondly, that He calls us to live in contentment with what He provides. And then thirdly, we can trust Him with the future just as He has provided in the past. And then the fourth thing, which we won't consider today, but we'll consider next week, is that this will help us to live with eternity in view rather than living on a temporal plane with a temporal mindset, okay? So first of all, note with me in verses 25 to 30 that God knows our need and provides for them even before we ask. Notice verse 25. Therefore, whenever you see a therefore or a wherefore, you have to go back and find out what it's there for. And Jesus just said, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is the world's money, the world's temporal things. You can't have it both ways. Prior to this, Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Therefore, because of that, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, because of all that I just said, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The principle here is that God knows the needs that we have. He provides for them even before we ask. Jesus taught us to trust in God's care for our daily needs. And in these verses, he speaks to the worries that so often plague people's hearts. In verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. By the way, you notice as we walk through this, that phrase, take no thought, take no thought. It's mentioned over and over and over again in this passage. In verse 26, he says, behold, the fowls of the air, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I want you to note some of the words here. And let's just start with this one, take no thought. The phrase means to be anxious about. It means to be consumed with. Don't be anxious about these things. It is the exact same word that the Apostle Paul uses in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, where he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious or full of worry or over caring about these things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Jesus says, take no thought. He's saying don't be mindful. He's saying don't worry. Don't be full of fear and full of care and anxious over these things. In that context of Philippians 4, Paul is addressing how we as children of God can live in the realm of the peace of God. He says, take no thought, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul is talking about the saint of God being able to live in the realm of the peace of God that is beyond even our understanding. And so Jesus says, don't be anxious about some things. About what? Don't be anxious about what? Well, look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? So Jesus says, don't be anxious about what? Your life. What you're going to eat or drink. Don't be anxious about your body, what you're going to wear. What are these things that Jesus is talking about? If you were to boil it down in a nutshell, these are daily living things. These are just simply daily needs that he's talking about. Jesus says, hey, these are simple things. Besides that, your life consists of so much more than just food and clothing and shelter. Is your life not more than meat and the body more than raiment? In other words, what he's saying is, don't be anxious, don't have anxiety over the simple needs of life. How many of you, if you were honest, would have to admit that I find myself worrying or being anxious about the simple things of life, the needs? You don't have to raise your hand here, but be honest with yourself. Jesus said, don't do that. Jesus said, stop it. Don't do it. And then he gives two commands. Look at verse 26. Behold. The word is behold. It means look. So Jesus is giving an example here. Look. Verse 26. The fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He tells them, look at the birds of the air. And when you do, you're going to notice they don't seem to be struggling. They don't seem to be hurting. They're not frowning. They're not grumpy. They don't appear sleep-deprived. What you see is the birds are singing, the birds are whistling, the birds are flying, the birds are going about their life. He says they don't sow. They don't go out and plant into the ground. They don't wait for harvest time and then come and reap their harvest. They don't build up barns, you know, to gather into the barns to store up for the future. It's going to be a long winter. We better get out there and plant our fields. The birds aren't, they're not saying that. They don't have tractors. They don't harvest the wheat. But Jesus says, don't they look cared for? Why? Because God feeds them. God meets their need. God takes care of them. And then Jesus asks a question. Don't you think that you're of greater importance than the birds? Then notice verse 28. And he says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, by the same token, in the same way, the lilies of the field, they don't do anything. They're not out there sewing their clothes, sewing their raiment. They're not spinning the yarn or whatever. Even though their lifespan is short, God dresses them up like it's a red carpet appearance. And even Solomon, the richest king in history, wasn't even arrayed like these. And then he makes the application. Draw the logical implication. If the birds and the flowers fall into the category of God's care, won't He care for you and for me as well? These verses remind us of something really foundational, that God knows what our need is even before we ask. He's faithful. It's easy to get caught up in anxiety over circumstances. Will I have enough to make ends meet? What about the challenges that lie ahead? And what about this? And what about that? And we start to get anxious and fearful, and we start worrying over things that sometimes we actually have no control over whatsoever. We worry about just even the simplest things of what's going to happen and when and how, and have to get it all under control here so that I can work the plan, so that I can feel this security. But Jesus points us to the birds and to the flowers, creatures with no ability to store or plan for the future, and yet they are provided for because God is good. How much more will God, who loves us dearly, take care of us? Note this and understand this. Worry is not only unproductive, but it's also a sign of distrust in God's provision. And if you're writing things down, write this down. Worrying in the present steals our peace for tomorrow. When you are worrying or fretting or fearful or anxious, there's not peace there. But God wants us to live in peace, and it steals our peace in the future. Tomorrow hasn't even happened yet. It's not a question of whether God will provide. It's a matter of trusting Him to do so. He already promised He would. The problem is not that we doubt God's ability to do something, but that we sometimes fail to see the bigger picture of His provision. His provision may not always look the way we expect it to, but it's always what we need because He's always good. You know, when we look back over our life, if we are conscientious, if we're honest, we can see how good God has been, how God has been faithful time and time and time again. We wouldn't be sitting here today if not. And what you ought to do, and what we ought to do, encourage each other to do, is take some time. Even in this moment, just reflect on your own life. Think of times when God provided in ways that were unexpected, or even when His provision came through other people. God says, you give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. Sometimes God provides through other people. He blesses them in order to bless you. And there's a cycle here. You sow those seeds in your own life. You bless others. You are a good steward with what God gives, and you're living with eternity in view, and you bless other people and so on. Listen, you simply receive the reward or reap the harvest of what you've already sown. Praise the Lord, that's how God works. God's care for us extends far beyond just material things, though. It's about our spiritual, emotional, and relational needs, too. He's a good Father who knows exactly what we need. And because of this reality, we can learn to be content no matter what the circumstances are, because He knows the need before we ever even ask. I love this passage of Scripture. It's so foundational. It's so practical for life. Listen, where do you live day to day? Where do you live in your mind day to day? Where do you live in your spirit day to day, in your soul? Is it full of care? Full of worry? Are you anxious? What are you anxious over? Is it always temporal things? Jesus said, don't do it. Why? Because He already knows. Amen. Secondly, look at verses 31 to 33, and here we find that He calls us to live contented with what He provides. In verse 31, therefore take no thought. There He is. It says it again. Don't be anxious. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He calls us to live contented with what He has provided. It's one thing to recognize that God provides for our needs, but it's another thing to live with the contentment that comes from trusting in His provision. In today's world, we are constantly bombarded with the message that tells us that we need more. More money. Sometimes we do need more money. It's getting harder and harder to live. We need more. More success. More of everything. But contentment is about realizing that we already have enough because God Himself is enough. If we're trusting Him and we're contented in His provision, then we're going to understand that there's something infinitely greater than pursuing after temporal things. And the thing that is greater is seeking after the kingdom of God. What are you seeking after? If what you're seeking after is on a temporal plane, it's not on the plane that God resides in. God says, seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus says, seek first. It means it's the main priority. It's the main thing. The kingdom of God. Because His promise is, you don't have to worry about being provided for because I'm going to do it. So therefore, you can seek after the kingdom of God. Just go serve God. He knows what needs there are way before you know. He knows what needs there are going to be. And all these things, He said, shall be added unto you. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Keep your place here. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul states something here. It's really crucial. Something that we need to pay close attention to in our Christian life as well. Philippians 4, in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Note here that Paul says in verse 11 that I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The word learned, it means to increase one's knowledge. It means to learn by use or practice. This is really important. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, by use and practice, therewith to be content. What situations did he come upon? Well, he says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Through tests, through trials, through experiences, on one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, I know what it means to be in need. I know what it means to abound in material blessings. But he learned to live independent of the circumstance because the circumstance was not the thing that brought him inner peace or contentment. So whether he's abounding, hey, things are going great in life. I've got plenty. Life is good. Or whether he's in a jail cell and he's starving or he's floating around in the sea because of a shipwreck or anything else, he says, whatever situation I found myself in, I'm independent of the circumstance because that does not determine the joy or the peace or the contentment that God gives. Wow. Godly contentment is great gain. How often do we say that God is good, but especially when things are going good? Right? God is so good to me. God is so good to me. And things are going really well right now. But do we still find peace and contentment when things aren't so good? Paul's contentment came from within, not without, not because of circumstance. And as Paul would tell us in verse 13 of Philippians 4, his sufficiency was not in himself, but in Christ. I can do all things. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether we're high, whether we're low. I can go through anything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That is a crucial point, friend. In fact, that is the point of it all. And the application is pretty simple here. Often we are so focused on what we lack in this life or what we would like in this life that we fail to see how much we already have that God has provided. And when we focus on what we lack, we lose our ability to live in gratitude toward the Lord and be thankful unto Him. Because we're always looking at what we don't have or what we would like. And we become unthankful, or we lose our ability to be thankful for what God's already provided. But when we learn to trust God's provision and live contentedly in His grace, we open up our heart to then receive more of the blessing of God. True contentment is not just about material needs. It's about spiritual and emotional provision as well. Listen, do we trust that God is enough for us, even when life doesn't go according to how we plan? That's not what I would want. It's not what I like. I don't like the situation I'm in. I don't like how life is going. Listen, I know. I get it. I'm there so often. But do we trust that God is enough even when life doesn't go according to plan? Are we satisfied to just rest in Him? Are we constantly wanting something that we don't have and forgetting about how good God has been already? Contentment is the key to living free from the grip of worry. What's tied to that often is comparison. Meaning, I'm looking around at what somebody else might have that I don't have. Or comparing my life to somebody else's life. Or my situation to somebody else's situation. Contentment is the key to living free from the grip of worry and the grip of comparison. It's about recognizing that in Christ, we actually already have everything we need. Are we content with His will and His provision in our life? He knows the needs before we ever even ask. He calls us to live contented with what He provides. Go back to our text, and I want you to look with me at verse 34. Trusting God's faithfulness, then, is what guarantees our future. Verse 34, Jesus says, "Take therefore no thought." He says it again. "Take therefore no thought." For what? "For the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Trusting in God's faithfulness is what actually guarantees our future. So we can trust that God's provision is not limited to our past. It's not limited to even the present, but it extends out into tomorrow, into the future. Jesus' words in verse 34 are just as relevant today as they were when they were written. He uses the word therefore. Why does He say that? Take therefore no thought. In other words, because of these guarantees, because of what I've promised you, because of these guarantees that I'm going to provide, that I know what the need is, that I'm going to do that, that you should live contented with my provision, because of those guarantees, don't take thought for tomorrow. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow can worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Stop being anxious about what hasn't even happened yet. Our tendency is to look ahead, but look ahead with anxiety, wondering how things will work out, whether we're going to have enough, what challenges might come, etc., etc. But Jesus invites us here to live in the present now, trusting that God will continue to provide tomorrow because He's always good and faithful. Trusting God for tomorrow doesn't mean that we don't plan or that we don't work hard. But it does mean that we just simply leave the future in His hands. God's faithfulness is not a one-time thing. It's ongoing. He has provided in the past. He's providing now. Guess what? He's going to provide in the future too. We don't need to fear the unknown because God already knows what lies ahead. And He's promised to meet all of our needs according to what? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I'll say it again. Worrying in the present steals our peace in the future. I want to encourage you to put some of these things into practice, even this week. Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul said that in Philippians 4 regarding, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He tells the readers of the church at Philippi in that very same chapter, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, those things that you've learned and heard and received in me, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. Guess what? Here it is, laying at your feet, right there, laid before us. What are you going to do with it? Put it to practice. Doing is so often the hardest part when it comes to Bible truth. Learning is not. We can learn the truths. We can say them. Doing is so often the hardest part. Do you believe it, though? Because when we really do believe it, then we're going to act on it. Amen? We can learn and know, but the doing is where we prove what we really believe. And many times, so often, I know this is true. In my own life, I know it's true in many others as well. Bible principles seem to be simply these abstract concepts that we don't really actually try to practice. And we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why, in so many cases, well, we're not actually doing. And so when you start to worry about the future, whether it's financial concerns, whether it's health issues, anything else, stop, pause, remember God's faithfulness, and instead of worrying and fretting, pray. Instead of stressing, trust. God has been faithful before. He's going to be faithful again. I don't need to live in this plane right here. And so let's wrap it up. As we reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ and God's provision, we're reminded, number one, that He knows our needs before we ask. Number two, that He calls us to live with contentment in what He's already provided. And number three, that we can trust Him for tomorrow. God's provision is not just about material things. It's about every area of our life. He is a faithful God. He's a faithful Father who delights in meeting the needs of His children. And I want to leave you with three quick things, points of application, things that you can actually put to practice this week. First of all, number one, practice gratitude for what God has already provided. Be thankful unto the Lord. Think about your blessings. Count your blessings. Think about God's provision. Practice a heart of gratitude. Lord, thank you for how you've provided. Spend time thanking God for specific ways that He's provided for you, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, materially. Count those blessings. Name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. How thankful are you to the Lord? How really thankful are you to the Lord? Number two, cultivate contentment. Whenever you find yourself focusing on what you don't have or comparing your life to others, stop, pause, Remind yourself that in Christ, you already have enough. And trust that God is my provider. And let go of the desire and the need for more or for something different. Cultivate contentment. And then thirdly, you've got an opportunity here because tomorrow hasn't happened. Trust God for the future. When worries about tomorrow arise, we all have them. It's a human thing. It's a condition. Okay? Call it a condition. When worries about tomorrow arise, turn those things into prayers. It might be a legit need. It might be a legit concern. No one's saying don't be concerned or have thoughts about, but don't live in a state of worry or anxiety. Turn that into a prayer. And remind yourself, the Lord already knows what my need is or what it will be. Trust that the same God who provided for you yesterday or in the past is going to do so tomorrow. Take those worries, surrender them to the Lord, and rest in His faithfulness. Pretty simple. A lot harder to do, right? And as you put those things to practice, put those things in place, even tomorrow, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find the anxiety and the worry start to leave your body. And the peace that passes understanding will now take its place. And it's going to be helpful. That is foundational because the fourth thing, in which we'll consider next week, is that will help us to be free from the chains of living in this temporal world, on a temporal plane, with a temporal mindset. And we'll be able to live as Christ desires. I know God is faithful. I know God will provide. Therefore, I can seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Living with an eternal mindset. That's so critical. Listen, because this life is short. This life is going to be over. And Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because moth and rust corrupts. Thieves break through and steal, especially if you live in Alaska. Where's your treasure? The real treasure, it's eternal. You've got to live with eternal eyes, eternity in view. We can become consumed with the affairs of life. And Paul said that no soldier or no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life. We can be so entangled in this temporal world that we cease to be of use to the Lord, or at least the way that He wants to. So live with an eternal mindset rather than a worldly one, because that worldly mindset actually has no value actually at all. So you see how it fits together? Trust the Lord. The Lord will provide. Don't worry, don't fret. That frees you in order to be able to seek first the kingdom of God. And it's all in Christ. Hopefully that's helpful. And Lord willing, we'll take a look at that next thought next week. Living with eternity in view. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for its truth, how practical it is. And certainly the message was geared more towards saved people, God's people. Very instructional, foundational. And Lord, the prayer this morning is that we would consider the truth, and maybe that each one would look at their own life. What do they have a tendency to do? To fret, to worry, to fear, to take thought, to be anxious, to compare. All of those things limit or hinder our ability to seek first the kingdom of God. And what they do is they demonstrate a lack of faith and trust in the Lord. So Lord, help us to grow. Help us to surrender those cares, worries, and fears to the Lord. Help us to turn them into prayers. Lord, help us to live in the peace that you desire for your people because of your faithful provision. And whatever the need is of the heart today, Lord, I pray that you would meet it, that there would be a surrendered will on the part of God's people toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.